Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, and welcome to another episode here on Bleeped Up Productions. It is Diskheads, episode 6, Disky Business. Just take those old records off the shelf. Yes, we are talking everything that comes to our disc preferences this episode. It's really exciting, but I'm not going to explore the episode. We've got Dan to talk through that in a second. I am one of your co-hosts of this podcast, Lee. To the left of me is one of the other co-hosts, Ben. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm all right.
You surviving?
Doing all right, yeah.
Fan.
I'm here.
You're here. You've turned up. Two weeks. Oh, two weeks in a row. Living the dream, mate. And then the man behind this podcast, the creator, the man, the myth, the legend, Dan. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Lee. Thank you for the intro.
All right.
Let's get straight on with it. It's a jam-packed one tonight. So we're going to give some quick course reviews. We're going to talk about Disc Golf UK. The main discussion is going to be about only buying one brand of disc. We've got a disc of the week and a beginner tip. But speaking of disc of the week, we mentioned on our last podcast that we were going to talk about how we were planning on branching out just a little bit further. So we're looking at having a logo, that's in the works. A couple more weeks, hopefully we'll have something finalized, or at least a prototype that we can start banging on hoodies and stuff. But on top of that, looking at branching out into YouTube, actually taking Diskheads into its own YouTube channel. We're potentially keeping the podcast on here for the foreseeable future.
The audio medium. That's it. Because I feel like the videos can go on Diskheads.
Yeah.
The audio medium just makes sense just to keep it. Because, you don't want to know the money I spend to have an audio podcast. It's kind of scary.
But we're going to do some videos on disc reviews and what's in our bag. Actually having a bit more time to talk about, you know, what's in our bag and why we throw them, and actually show you some stuff. We're going to do course reviews as well, because this is what's been driving me behind this idea that mainly went to a couple of courses today.
Yes.
Last night I wanted just to have a look to see if there's anything, you know, special about these courses or anything we needed to avoid. And there's no course reviews at all on YouTube, and I'm finding this more and more with British courses. The bigger courses, your Quarry Parks, they're there.
Yeah.
But your Charlie Parks, your nine-hole public golf course, your Bedworths, there's
none
there.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be looking at. But as we're amateurs, don't expect anything too pro. But that's the plan moving forward. We have got some other things in the works, but we don't want to talk about them yet, because if we can pull them off, we'd probably dedicate a whole episode to them. Firstly, our first topic of conversation, and I'm just going to tell you what two words I've got written down here. You're going to know instantly what I'm talking about. I just wrote the words head smash.
I know what you're talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
As our non-disc golf friend even shared this video with us recently.
Jesus. Is this Eagle?
This is Eagle.
Yes. Oh my God. This guy should have died. Like, literally. Yeah, the clip now.
Eagle McMahon was kind of pinched off from the fairway, so he decided to throw a grenade, which was probably the reasonable thing to do. But he ended up having one of the worst outcomes you could have, because he unfortunately hit the cameraman straight in the head. Just listen to this sound.
Oh no! Oh gosh! Oh no! I hope he's okay.
Yeah. Now we're back. There we go. So sorry. So it doesn't really work on an audio medium, but by God, on YouTube, it does.
So Eagle McMahon throws
Who
a grenade.
Assessed that?
Yeah.
Why was nobody wearing a hard hat?
But that's the question, and that's the question I was going to ask. So Eagle McMahon, he throws a grenade toward a basket over some high trees, and hits poor old Dave, the cameraman, straight on the head, and he needed stitches.
Yeah, he did.
Lee's already put the clip in, so you're already aware of the foot, the sound.
The sound is the scariest thing.
No, he's gonna have one hell of a headache.
Concussion, pardon my French right there. It's a concussioner.
Now, gonna get personal on the podcast now. Mm-hmm. As a man, I suffer with something called Meniere's disease, and it's likely that this started from a blow to the head. Mm-hmm. Whilst I was at work, a cupboard foul hit me on the head, hurt me loads. I ended up going to hospital with concussion. And after that, my ears were ringing and I was off balance, and you know, it's led to many Ayers disease, and looking it up, you know, it's likely that a blow on the head could have done that. So knowing what a blow on the head can do long term, you know, they need to take more safety precautions. And like you said, Ben, why weren't they wearing hard hats? Not necessarily a builder's hard hat, but surely there's a cap out there.
Like a bump hat?
Yeah.
Like a hard...
I don't know. I feel like if they had the Jurassic Park worker helmets, like at the beginning of Jurassic Park, like, or with Gomez or whatever, you know, company is filming it.
You get caps that are like...
Yeah.
I was looking at...
Well, the thing is, it's just like, it's the unpredictability of it. Like, you see it in normal golf. I would say take that as a prime example. When you're a bystandering that, they are hitting something way more... So let's be honest. In disc golf, what is it? Unless you're doing like the long drive stupid thing, you're not throwing what 80 miles an hour is what most of these guys are throwing at on an average.
Yeah.
Throwing a grenade, you don't know where it's going to go, so there is that element of risk.
Also, it's coming down.
It's coming down. Yeah.
There's the added gravity factor.
Yeah, like you have no idea where a grenade or a tomahawk is going to come at you from. But with the other thing, like when it comes back to golf, is like every time they tee off, there is a slight possibility of getting twatted in the head by a golf ball, but everyone's got their head on a swivel anyway.
I also just want to chuck in, while we're talking about discs being thrown at people, you nearly killed me this week.
Yeah, I nearly did kill you.
Genuinely did.
Like, that was going to be my next question. So if we look at how we protect...
I'm sorry.
We all come from different jobs that have health and safety at the heart for different reasons. We work with very different clientele.
Yeah.
Health and safety is important.
All aspects.
So, you know, we can sit here and say, you know, they need to wear harder hats. You know, there could be better spotters, better communication. Someone could have told that. I mean, if you watch that video, the bloke is focusing on the basket.
It's also like that, isn't it?
It happens in an instant. Yeah, and it's funny, like the last couple of main Pro Tours events we've had, we've either had issues with spotters where discs has hit spotters and it's gone into OB, and that cost... going to be brutally honest, I think that cost Burrell the tournament. Cost him. Like, even though he won, if you look at it and watch back how he was playing, and then to basically throw a really perfect drive and then hit a guy and then go, oh yeah, going an OB.
Also, like, matey is stood next to a basket that they are throwing discs at.
They're throwing discs at, not up and over. And
yeah, but so maybe you should have gone, don't know how he's going to get this disc here.
Yeah, but why? Yeah. No one can
probably going to go, it's not like I don't film disc golf for a living. I don't know. Maybe he's going to throw it over these.
I think they just got to assess it, haven't they? Because if it happens again.
Someone could have communicated that. Somebody could have just said, he's going to be throwing a grenade here, mate. So he's not focused on the basket.
So my other question is, how many people throw grenades, though? Not a lot of people. Like, when we've watched it, and we've only watched it for a brief minute, so we can't say we know everyone's shots. Kevin Jones throws grenades. McMahon throws grenades. I bet everyone does, but these have been, like, primarily their shots you would go to.
But I threw a grenade today.
You did throw a really good grenade today.
So my second question was going to be, how do we keep each other safe? And I realised this today.
Yeah, Lee.
Yeah.
How do we keep each other safe?
So, Lee, you're a bit...
I murder everyone.
You've nearly killed me.
Nev's hit me.
Nearly killed Ben. I've hit none of y'all on a...
No, not yet.
I've hit both of you. Yeah. But only in the leg.
In the leg. Only in the leg.
Removed my...
Your head.
Top of my head.
Yeah, I know.
The bottom of my head.
I took one to the shoulder as well. Who threw the one I took to the shoulder?
Was that not a berg?
That was probably
you in the knee. Did I not arch you in the knee as well?
You arched me in the knee, and that one actually made me limp for a minute.
That was a good one.
No, there was some sauce on that one.
I don't know. I feel like how it was when any of us play, I feel like we just kind of stop and like just let the people have their shot.
So today you was lining up a shot.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about what shot I was taking. And as I wandered across, you threw it. And I watched the frisbee go in front of me. No, it wasn't close.
No.
But I had no idea.
So the interest. Yeah, 100%.
Thinking, no wonder I keep getting hit by these
birds. Yeah. 100%. I didn't say, yeah, that's true, actually. But I feel like it's also, I don't think we intentionally go after trying to kill each other. But also, the thing is, if you're the furthest away from the hole, you know for a fact, it's like, right, this person's going to walk up and take that disc. So I would stop and then just let you have your shot and then continue.
You did properly spoon the one you threw at me.
Yeah, I did. That was a bad grip lock.
That was definitely not aimed at me.
Hell no.
And that's the thing. I mean, we're really cautious about dog walkers. You know, we don't throw if we think there's any chance of their hitting a dog or a dog walker. When I was down there the other week on my own, I threw the river. It caused a bit of wind. Went way further than I had planned it to go.
Yeah.
Didn't cause anybody any problems. You know, I didn't hit anybody or anything. But landed on the path like a good 2 foot.
You've been having a real issue with discs going a lot further than they were supposed to go.
Yeah.
Intentionally going further.
Yeah, I think I'm getting better and don't realise. I think that's
I'm not knocking you.
In
the last 4 weeks, you've gone over that fence
a few times.
Several times.
Yeah, and yeah, gone to paths and stuff.
And it's
like
just that extra little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
But you know how we can. Know what is being done to keep everybody safe, because there's no signs in Bedworth saying.
Well, to be honest, I almost killed those two girls in Quarry Park as well, to be honest. Yeah, but that was also.
You killed them two girls in Bedworth.
I honestly think it's just literally you just yell four, but then that also doesn't help. You. Or me just yelling heads is also the worst thing to
also,
yell.
You are the worst for throwing discs at people.
Yeah, I am the worst. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about my...
Quarry Park, right? You're at a disc golf course. Everyone that goes to Quarry Park knows
fine.
What they're there for. How many times do we get asked, oh, that's what the baskets were there for. How do you play this? Or does it work like golf? People haven't got a clue, like your general public. There, and they're just wandering through Bedworth, walking the dogs.
Yeah.
It's hole nine for me.
Yeah.
Every time.
No,
hole... As I say, we've got the patience to wait... But if they're not being warned and they just let their dog just like run off the leash and it runs onto a fairway. Yeah.
Susan
was a great dog, though.
Susan was a glorious dog.
You know what I mean? What's being done?
And I feel four is also kind of dangerous, but that's also because most of the time when we seem to play four, there's always a family playing football there.
Five.
Is it five?
Yeah, but four is dangerous. That's the one that goes up the hill.
We have a spotter. Yeah.
We always use a spotter. When I play on my own, I literally go up to the spotting point, look all around, and the moment I know I've got time, I'll leg it down to the tee pad and launch off.
but I also feel, though, like you said, nine is also going to be an issue, because obviously we've got, at the moment, we've got that tree in the middle of the fairway, which is annoying.
That's 11.
Oh, sorry, 11 even, sorry. So 11...
We play this course every week.
I know, I'm just really bad. So 11...
He's going to do a course review in a minute.
It is, I'm going to be like, is this hole? No, Lee, it's not that number, you idiot. 11, you've got the path... And then also, because we're currently doing spring, in summer, I bet you there's a lot more mountain bikers. And where we normally end up throwing because of that busted tree, they're going to be an issue, mountain biking later on in the evening.
Need a spot on
there, 100%. We're just going to try not murder people, but we don't. We keep. I love how when we first started, we made the joke about, like, I hope we don't Kung Lao people. And now it's slowly getting more and more like fatality, because it actually is becoming more and more real, which
if
is...
he dies.
He dies. But yeah, more can be done in both professional golf and amateur golf.
It is a rough one as well. Like, that was a heavy hit, which is insane. And the worst thing, it was caught on camera. That's even worse. Like, there's probably stuff that has never been caught on camera as well that's happened.
It's one of them where when you watch it, it actually hurts your head.
Yeah.
I do strongly advise, if you're playing disc golf with Lee, make sure you've always got a disc in your hand, be ready to Captain America
shield, yeah.
Discs away, because that has saved me a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
it's grip lock. I'm going to honestly say now it's because I've either spooned it.
So, mentioning that Lee's going to do a course review, that's next on my list.
Nice.
So, brief review of what we did today. So, we went to Charlie Park, yeah, that sounds right.
Yes.
And Markerton Park.
Yes.
So Charlie Park is a Disc Golf UK setup. Oh, where was it, Lee?
It was...
Something that began with C.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Disc Golf, you Disc can tell us, because it actually tells us where it is, doesn't it?
Shankly Park is located where?
A few
Chesterfield.
Moments later.
Chesterfield.
Yeah, with the
yeah,
C.
Yeah, but did it have like...
It says Chesterfield, UK here on my round that I'm looking at.
Yeah, but the little town didn't add another name. But Chesterfield will do.
Yeah, Chesterfield will do. I forget the name of the little town.
Charlie Park. That really good. It's a free-to-play park in a public park. We've just mentioned public park and watching out for dog walkers and such. But this felt a bit different. Whereas Bedworth, the course is integrated with the park.
Yes.
This felt very separate. There was enough room for a cricket pitch. There was enough room for a football pitch. When we left, people were playing rugby.
Yeah. No, that was the other one.
That was the other one.
Yeah.
But, you know...
That was insane to see as well. Yeah. 30 people was insane.
But, you know, the course itself felt like it wouldn't... You wouldn't get too many dog walkers in the way. Or
no, not at all.
Like that. There was almost like a separate field next to it. Do you know when we couldn't find T7 and I went wandering past that hedge? There's another field.
Yeah, there is another field. Yeah, I felt like how it is, how spaced out it was as well, was quite well. So people, like, you could have people walking wherever and to and fro and whatevs. But also, we're currently still, like, I feel like, because when we all started playing, we've only had winter and spring to deal with. We haven't dealt with the issue of summer. But it's true, because I feel like more people will be out and about in summer.
Yeah,
lights the nights are lighter, etc. So we're probably going to see a lot more people. So it might get more educational. Hopefully, I won't murder anybody with my discs.
There'll also be more people playing.
Probably,
yeah,
as well.
More,
yeah.
Playing. But yeah, this one seemed a bit like off from the actual park. Not away from the main park.
No, not at all. It was. It utilized the whole park. To be honest, yeah. If we think about it, we started at one side and finished on the other, and then came back towards the original hole. Because we did it twice.
Yeah,
for a full 18.
The layout, we gave it 3.5 stars out of 5 in the end. Layout was good once you understood it.
Yeah, once you understood it, it was fine.
Missing T-pads on 7.
That was my one downfall to it. But the one thing as well is, like, if you were thrown from the red tees, that was fine, because then you knew the blue tees were nearby, but they just weren't well signposted. So you had to really look closely at them from afar. Like, the other part we're going to talk about later, I think, has done it perfectly.
Yeah.
But it's like, for me, it was like, once you got the rhythm of understanding where you're going and where you're throwing, like, the map on the tee pad was very simple. Right, that's where it's going. And then also on it was like, when you finished on the basket, go over in this direction and you will find the tee pad.
But it was understanding the map, because on most disc golf courses, you're standing face on with the map.
Mm.
And that's how you throw. You throw in that direction.
Yeah.
A lot of the time with these, it was side on, but the map was head on.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of go, right, that is that tree. Oh, okay, that's the basket.
That's the basket going for, yeah.
And to be fair, most of the, in fact, every hole, when you finish playing a basket, the tee pad was next to it.
Next to
or
it.
Less. You just had to spot it.
Yeah, it was basically like, where's Waldo? Oh, there it is. It's over there. It's fine.
Yeah, sometimes easy, sometimes not.
Not,
sometimes non-existent. Like...
Had a very amazing hole though. The right leg. What was it? I'm not going to guess the number because I'm really bad at it.
Oh, the left right angle.
Is it 6 or 5?
6.
6.
Yeah, because 7 played into there, 8.
That
there,
was sick. Yeah, I liked 6. 6, like we both said, this is what's unique about it. Like literally, you can't see where the basket is, but you know where to throw it roughly.
So what was this?
Yeah, and then this is the grenade that I threw as well. So we played red then blue. So on the red hole. From the tee, you were looking at a hedge higher than you.
Okay.
And you were playing
somewhat
left.
Over 6 foot for those that don't know how tall I am.
yes.
So I'm not over 6 foot.
Yes, it's true. Does it work on an audio medium?
Left handed right angle. But when I say right angle, I'm talking about a 90 degree.
90 degree, right. Like
almost
pure.
Coming back on yourself. And the basket was in the far corner. So.
And if you threw it left, OB.
Yeah, so if you ended up in the gap, like between the two hedges,
OB.
It was in OB. Oh.
So it's all left OB.
So you either had to throw the angle, or in my case, on the second, the second one was a longer drive down
to it, so it had a better thing on it.
Well,
that's what we did. Yeah, we both, you Valkyried it, grenade, and I Raptored wide because Raptors always want to finish left hard. And it was easy to get round, but it was like, make sure you clear it because if you don't clear it, you're going OB. It was great. I really liked that hole.
I quite liked hole 8, the one where everything was OB up until the pin.
So, red, the red tee, the red tee.
Yeah, everything's OB until you get to the pin.
Mate, the red tee was...
Like no green at all.
Yeah. No, so basically how it was...
There's grass there, but...
There's grass there.
No, yeah, so there's yeah. No, in golf, there's no yeah. green. It's just tee pad.
So where it was...
Where the pin is.
Where the pin is, there's a big green area.
Yeah, I'm not thinking fair. I'm thinking
yeah, fairway.
Fairway,
there's
yeah.
There's no fairway. There's a reasonable size green.
There's a it is a reasonable size green, and on the red one you're like, okay, this is fine, I'm good with this, because it was just literally a right nice little chip shot, that's fine. When you went to the blue tees, it was kind of like the whole thing changed.
Get round this tree and past all the OB.
Yeah, it was literally just
from tee pad you had to basically land yeah. in what circle what.
Yeah, I would say circle two.
Maybe a bit bigger.
Yeah, and then if you got it in OB, you just teed up from the red tee. Okay. It was a very good hole. I spannered mine. Mine literally went nowhere near the basket. Your second, when we were throwing all our drivers just to see how to tackle it, your second shot was better.
Yeah, well, straight line from
the red, from the blue, no.
No, not at all.
On the red, relatively easy. The blue was...
Blue was a little bit further. For us, I would say it's definitely challenging.
We both went OB. My second yeah. attempt.
Second went fine. It, but it's yeah. just trees and branches, bro. That was yeah. the annoying thing. There was a lot of good tree, bad tree play today. There was a lot of good trees.
But yeah, no, lovely little course.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good fun.
But you enjoyed Markington Park more.
Yes, Markington Park is by far... Now, I, you know how we were you guys wanted like Quarry Park to be the best course ever? Not just because I played really well on it and I was throwing new discs. I like this course just because the layout was clean and it was literally from all angles you could tell where you were going.
I really like Markington Park as well. But before we get all positive about Markington Park.
Okay.
I'm going to have my little rant, Lee, and you know exactly...
I know exactly where we're going with this.
This is.
I know exactly where we're going with this.
Parking, £2.60 for 2 hours, not a problem. But it only takes coins, or you have to scan this QR code to download an app. I don't carry cash around with me, so I download the QR code. I have to download an app, input my information,
I was gonna say.
Put my bank information in, type a little code in, confirm it all, go onto my banking app to confirm that I've made a payment using this other app, and then I get charged a 10p convenience fee for the most inconvenient parking I've ever experienced. I know it's only 10p, but it is wow.
We literally, the 10p like convenience charge is now going to be a thing, like the Bedworth Beaver. It's now going to be a thing.
Wow me up. But anyway, back to the positives of
yeah, the positive of this, we found it quite quickly, because it's funny enough, it's not actually signposted on the park, but I'm assuming when it was like, oh, pitch and putt, I'm assuming it's there. And then when we looked at UDisc, it was, because it basically in this area is disc golf, foot golf, and pitch and putt golf. So it's three things in one.
All the golf.
All the golfs, all the time. And
there is a charge, however, there's no charge if the hut is closed.
Yeah.
When we were told on UDisc, one of the comments said the hut's closed Monday to Friday and it's only open at the weekends. That was the case when we were there. It just gone midday today, what, 2 o'clock?
Yeah, 2, 3. Yeah, we were there. Yeah, it was... And we flew round, because this is the one thing I'm going to say all courses should do. And it's not hard. So when we were going round, we could easily see, as soon as we got to the hole, it basically said... Right, this is where your tee pad is, and it had a stump which basically had 1, 1, 1, 1 from all angles of this square post, and then also an arrow saying this is where the direction you will throw. And then when you got to the basket and put it and whatever, we were looking around going, where do we go next? There's another nice plank of wood saying the number of the next hole with a great arrow pointing to that, and you go, all right, it's probably not going to be right next to it, but it's in that general direction. And funny enough, there's big numbers on it, which basically was like, this is the most easiest course to follow.
Yeah, if the teapot wasn't literally next to the basket, if you couldn't turn around from the basket and go...
You could see where
it was. You could see it, yeah.
There was a big stick saying,
two.
Walk this way.
Walk this direction. And the best thing about it is, because it shares with mini golf and the tee golf, you actually had an actual teapot. Some of them were scary as hell. Four was extremely slippy. And I want to say, which is the one with the bog? Because of the water.
Oh.
S- six?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. There was a one that was incredibly like slippery. Like some of them you would basically be like pretending to be on four, like Tony Hawk's like pro skater bailing.
So four's T pad's gone.
Yeah.
It's now just like what was underneath the T pad. And it was like throwing on an ice rink.
It was pretty sketch.
Like sweet. Even the Grippy Grips 5000s were
the Grippy Gripper 5000s.
I really liked the course, and like we were talking about it as well, it's quite open, so it's very forgiving, but also at the same time for me it was like we had just gone, we're going to probably talk about it later in the podcast, we went to the UK Disc Golf like warehouse as well as some other store, the store there as well, and it's ideal to try new discs and try out shots and all the other fun stuff that goes with it. It was absolutely banging, and it's open, so even if you throw it a little bit wide or a little bit close, there's enough to go, right, I'll get a shot out of this. And it was really good. Just really, really enjoyed it. Not because I played really well as well. It was just the fact that I genuinely liked it. It had that Bedworth feel. That's what I felt like.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit better than Bedworth. I think the whole variety was... maybe it's still just playing Bedworth every week that it's becoming a bit tiresome.
Okay.
I like getting this whole variety. I like seeing these different types of holes and stuff. And... forgiving par fours as well.
There was some par fours where we're like, we could get birdies here, and then we'd literally shank our second shots and go like, we'll improve next time.
Yeah.
But it was good, honestly. Like
short range par fours.
Not short range, 120 metre.
Yeah, I would literally say...
call that a short par four at Bedworth.
What's that? Like, hole one at Bedworth?
Hole five, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a par three.
Yeah.
Like, our par fours are hard.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Yeah, you will like this course. Like par threes that you can do in three.
You will, yeah. You can do in three. And the best thing about it is there's some holes where you look at it and go like, right, I need to throw either around the tree, or I need a low skimmer to get under the branches, but needs to go. And because it was wet as well, which Dan and me found out, which is funny enough, really nice. Your disc will slide. So there was a fair few amounts where we had a shot and it just went, and it was like, oh, that went a couple more yards and nicer. That's great.
Yeah,
it was good.
Sub by Sherwood Pines as well, so.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do it. Like, I'd gladly go there again. It was sick.
I think we could do all three in a day.
Yeah, easy. I honestly think you could.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Two great courses. But
it's true. I give it 4 stars because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I also give it 4 stars.
It didn't get the full 5 just because of some hilarious tee pads.
Wow. Yeah, they're missing some tee pads. I do think it could have been a bit more challenging.
4 out of 5 bangers.
Four out of five bangers. Yeah. It was good, though. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And as I say, I think it's one of the courses that we will go back to and review when we figure out exactly how to do course reviews. And
I would gladly film around there because it's very open. It'll be good fun to do.
So between the two courses we did today, Lee, we went to Disc Golf UK.
We did. It was awesome.
It was. It was really, really good. We discovered that they've taken over Ace Discs. Which is our number one website, simply because of functionality more than anything.
If we need discs, we go to that website.
Yeah, so, you know, you can do search.
Sort out your filtering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Search by weight. saying it on a podcast.
There we go. Please listen.
Listen to me. Sort out your weight.
But with the fact that you had the Disc Golf UK and the Ace Disc shops all under one roof, it was quite literally like Toys R Us.
It was. I said to Ben before we even started recording, I was like, it was like the scene for The Matrix when he goes, "What do you need?" And it was just like, guns. Lots of guns. It was... unreal to just go like, so what's your brand? Oh, it's here. That's all your Discmania if you want to go. And it was just basically like pulling out a drawer and just going, oh mate, it was so satisfying.
Oh yeah, you was like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, I did. I bought 3 things. Well, 2 new discs, and I re-bought another one because I want another sensei. Like I said to you guys, I think having 2 of every disc is probably ideal. I've beaten in one as my putter, but I want one as an approach or even just a driving putter. Like, effectively, another one. Instead of just throwing my putter, I want to have a different one. Mm. And then, yeah, I bought a couple more sea lion plastics, which I don't want to talk about too much because that's going to be our main topic, really. Yeah. But yeah, it was good. But and the, there was, I mean, more money could have been spent, to be honest. More money.
We didn't get a name, but the lady that served us was absolutely brilliant. And we got a very customized service.
Yeah, it was very, she was very lovely. I feel really bad that we didn't, we forgot her name. I don't, I can't remember her name. I'm really bad with names.
It's her birthday tomorrow.
It is.
At least we know that bit of
we
information.
We do. But it was really.
Happy birthday, disc lady.
Happy birthday, disc lady. But it was really nice because she was show us like new discs. The one thing I can take away other than like getting free vegan like sweets, which was always good with my order, was they were doing I want to say it's either Launch or Frontier or whatever it was, the UK brand, they were doing 100% recyclable discs.
Yes.
And that looked sick, seeing
so
that.
He had some Barons, but then he also had some Launch discs as well.
Yeah, it was Launch, and it was like...
But what
a mix
he had
of
done,
everything.
He'd intercepted a load of carrier bags that were heading for some African country.
They were heading for the Philippines. Yeah. They were heading for the Philippines.
And he managed to intercept them and change them to usable plastic, and they're glow-in-the-dark recycled discs.
Yeah, mate. It was sick.
But yeah,
it was really cool.
But yeah, really enjoyed it. We had some other questions for her as well, and she was
really pleased
to answer all of them. You know,
it was so funny walking in though, because I was like, I think this is the entrance. We just opened the door and it's just like two people down a corridor, and they were like, hello, how can we help? And we were just like,
generally felt like I was wandered into someone's random business.
Literally walking, it was like, gotta be the right place, there's discs in the window here, gotta be that, surely. Yeah,
just walked into like a warehouse.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, cool. It was lovely.
Yeah, no, great. Pay it a visit when you're down there. I'm sure they appreciate more people just wandering in their warehouse.
Well, they did say on their website, feel free to come into the warehouse and say hello.
Well, it says that on UDIS.
On UDIS, so we did. So UDIS can't lie.
Yeah.
But they were really welcoming, which was nice. And we also bought a few things and we saw UDIS some things.
Has never been wrong about anything.
Other than directions, yes.
Other than where to park or where to get to a course or sometimes how a course actually works.
Yeah.
Cost.
Yeah, no, it was really good. They were really welcoming. It was really kind. And yeah, it was really cool. Definitely, like, if you're in the area, obviously, go. Just don't overload them. She said, if there was more than, like, 8 people at once, it would just be way too much. So it's like, just go in and you can easily, like, just go, what do you like? And there was stuff in there that I wanted to try. Like, Lone Star Discs was there. West Side Discs were there. Like, literally so much stuff where I've been like, I've had my eye on this company or this and just gone, no, I'm good. I know exactly what I came in for and I got.
I think if you're fresh starting, and I mean, we've only been playing 6 months, so I'm not saying that, you know, we're long-time veterans or anything, but I think if you're fresh starting, stick to the website, get yourself a starter pack.
Yeah, 100%. You know, always do.
Actually have some kind of idea of what you want and what brand you like and, you know, some kind of idea of what you're going in there to buy before you just wander in. It's not a...
Yeah, honestly, for me now, like, knowing if I'm going to play this more, I would either get a starter pack or I would go there and have a feel of the plastics and stuff. Like, I'll always say, like, I only own one Castoplast disc. I still think that's one of the nicest plastic feels. Yeah. Like, but I also feel it's personal.
I like their discs.
Yeah, but it's like personal preference, though, as well. Hmm?
You own two?
Yeah, because, oh, yeah, Burgers. Yeah. Yeah, so I own two now, yeah. The Cax and the Berg. The Cax was
lots in the Berg. So.
Yeah, so I feel like it's down to personal preference as well, which obviously we're going to get onto later as well. But it is that.
Yeah,
and it's true.
Well, got a basic beginner tip, and me and you were discussing this earlier, Lee. Not so much the beginner tip, but we're discussing. I can't remember the young man that's getting himself in trouble for it, but.
Gannon.
No, I know exactly.
Yeah,
Gannonberg is not getting himself in trouble this time.
I know who you're talking about. 1 second, you bring it up, and I'll find the player's name.
My beginner tip is going to be take your time.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of this. Ben more so. I've seen Lee do it. Lee's quite patient, so Lee will actually take his time over shots. He will twizzle his arms. He will make them fake putts to. Make sure he's getting the feel, and I can occasionally not even put my bag down, pick up a putt arm and just launch it at the basket and then wonder why I've hit the top and bounced out from a 5 foot away. I've seen you do it as well, Ben.
I just fire and forget.
Yeah. So take your time. You know, as you think about it, there's nothing wrong with actually taking a step back, having a breath. And it's not just putting, driving, everything. Off through the river a couple of times today. And it was going off to the right again. And it was frustrating me. The next time I threw it, instead of just going autopilot, I stopped. I thought about my movements without doing them. Just thought, this is what I need to do. And as I did them, I thought it through again. And I threw a nice straight river. And it's because I took that extra time just to go, correct yourself. This is where you're going wrong. You're releasing way late for this disc. Yes, that might be where you release the same another disc because you want that big left-hand curve. But do that with the river, and it's just going to keep firing off to the right. Yeah. So, yeah, take your breath, take your time. You got a name for us, Lee?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to make this putt, but it's really funny because we're talking about how long he takes. This is extremely long, isn't it? And he's been he even said on his Twitter as well he wanted to. Yeah, so it's Jake. It's Jacob Cortez, I think it is, or Countess, however you pronounce it. He plays for he's sponsored by Clash Discs. Really good player as well. I was saying like he's got an arm on him. Like, yeah. He's a bit of a beefcake guy, but like.
And it's taught me a new rule. I never knew it was
yeah,
a rule.
Yeah, like
do you know it was a rule?
Nope.
I don't know what we're talking about.
You only got 30 seconds to put.
I have heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I've never needed more than 30 seconds to have a crack, but.
But when you watch the video, I'll put it on now.
I'm sure a lot of you have heard about Cupcake, aka Jacob Curtis, and how he continues to be over that 30-second putting limit. Starting earlier this year at Goat Hill, where a clip of him taking over a minute to putt kind of exploded in the community. But no one ever calls him on the time violation. So earlier this week, during the 2023 Memorial, he continues to go way over that time limit. Like the clip you're seeing in the background now, he takes a full minute to putt. But the problem is that no one is ever calling him on this. So he's just going to be able to continue doing that, and for the sake of pace of game, I think someone needs to call a time violation, as that will also force him to learn to putt within the limit, because it is extremely frustrating to see how long some of these putts are taking. But I just want to be clear, Jacob seems like a really cool guy. He even left a comment after Goat Hill saying, yes, I had a putting yips the past couple of days, I'm working hard to figure it out, and yes, I totally agree, I should have been called on it. The motion of bringing the putter down felt foreign to me this past weekend, and no, this isn't normal for me. Sorry, you all.
Yeah, you just watch that on YouTube. It makes sense, but on the audio medium, I apologize. You could see how long it takes for him to putt.
He's having a good think about it.
It is. And he's even, like, even the video states, he wants more people to call him out on it. It's something he wants to improve on. And it's something he's been struggling with recently. He has been putting, so he's been taking longer, which he shouldn't be doing, but people need to call him out on it.
As beginners, though, if it takes you a minute to put, take a minute.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, you do you.
Lee can be feeling that put out whilst Ben puts, I put, my brother puts, and Lee still needs another 10 seconds to one more feel.
I just want to get comfy. That's my thing is, like, I feel like if I just walk up and I just throw it, I know I'm not going to get it. I just want to get
finished a cup of tea before Lee.
It's not that bad. I want to shout out to Robbie C. Thank you for teaching me some putting techniques, and they came up clutch today.
Yeah, because so your putting is spot on. You know, I'm not knocking you for taking time. That is the advice I'm giving people.
Yeah,
I'm a hypocrite when I give that advice. I went for a putt today with my bag on.
Yeah, I know. I stopped doing that now. I've stopped doing it. Even if it's just a little, no, I can't do it. Can't do it.
It was a bit boggy, and I'll not put my bag down here. And
it's just, yeah. No, it was good. No, yeah, just take your time on some shots. Plan it out. Yeah, that's what we would say.
So, big topic of the week.
Do-do-do-do-do. Big topic.
I'm reading the wrong bit. I'm reading next week's topic.
Lol.
So I posed a question, is it a good idea to tie yourself to one company? Now, obviously that could be taken wrong, as Lee responded when I put the question out to him.
Yes.
I obviously don't mean sponsorship or anything like that. If you're lucky enough to be sponsored, take that sponsorship and don't look back.
And listen to a podcast not for amateurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Do you just buy one type of disc? So I've got a very varied bag. I've got some Discmania, some Discraft, some Innova, some Latitude, some Disc Golf UK. There's probably a couple I'm not even thinking about. Castoplast.
Yeah. DGA.
DGA, yeah.
You got DGA.
Yeah, maybe. What's the banger?
D Discraft.
Banger is Discraft.
Oh,
I've got DGA.
What's Pilot?
Streamline.
You know, so I've got a very varied bag.
Mine's pretty mixed.
Recently,
I was going to say, we were all mixed, but I feel like Dan and me have drifted towards certain companies more now.
So,
yeah.
I'll gladly state that. So, for me, it is anyway.
I started off quite heavy on Discmania.
Yeah.
And then became more mixed.
So, Discraft is a big one for me. I've got two buzzes. I've got the Zombie. Sting, yeah, Sting. I've got a fair few Discraft. I like that feel for a mid-range.
Yeah.
Thing. But I've not thrown any big. I don't think I've got any big Discraft. I've got the Zeus, and the Zeus I use for particular shots. I don't use it as a driver. I don't like the feel of their drivers. Latitude. If I want a disc to go far, I'm throwing the Latitude. And I'm very drawn to it. I like the artwork. I like the feel.
What about the Ape? That's Innova.
The Ape's Innova. Throwing the Ape today. There's a very specific shot, and I'm not going off of it, but it does not come anywhere close to how I can throw the River.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of the River has overtaken the Ape a little bit.
Yeah, I can throw the same further than the Ape as well now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it plays its part for that very specific
100%.
Curve. So, not that I've gone off it, but yeah, I'm very drawn toward Latitude. You know, I only own about, was it like the Saint, the River, and the Glory. And I'm sure there's another one, but I can't see. But yeah, you know, I only own three of them at the moment. But I don't know, I'm just drawn toward that plastic. I'm drawn toward their artwork. I'm drawn like the designs. And
yeah.
But I will probably carry on playing a mixed bag. But. So you, especially Lee, seem to be drawn to.
Really leaning into Discmania.
Yeah. So looking at it now, I have 15 discs in my bag. 7 of them are Discmania.
Fair.
Yeah.
So that's almost half. And then if I look at my other stuff, I have the Berg for my approach, which is Castoplast. I then have the Buzz, which is Discraft. I have the Raptor, which is Discraft. The Banger GT, which is Discraft. And then we've got Latitude in the River. And then we've also got the Cax, which is Castoplast. So for me, yeah, like I used to have a mixed bag. But I can gladly say that I've jumped on the C-Line plastic bandwagon. That, I don't know what it is, but like, I wanted to try it out because how every Discmania Pro, yes, I'm talking about the old Simon Lazos as well, was saying it just feels right. So when you had one and then you said you weren't getting on with it, but then I threw it and I could understand why, because it felt literally like a more streamlined rock star, which I was throwing to begin with anyway.
Yeah, I'm not massively keen.
Yeah. And then...
It was bought for a specific job and it isn't. And I presumed it would do that and it doesn't. So.
And then from there, but I've gone...
You have found... Because I have discs that do... What that does, and that's not the reason I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought it was going to do something else.
Yeah.
Mm. And for me, it's like, that's perfect mid-range. And then I got the PD today, which is a very good disc, the purple Jolly Rancher. Love that disc.
Oh, yeah, it's
so good. And then, the new DD3. The new DD3 in the C-Line. That I launched that today for pretty much, what, my whole second round after we went to a disc UK. That is the Destroyer has a place in my bag and I can throw it, but the DD3 I can throw very well, and that's only throwing it for 18 holes. But yeah.
Would you say that, like, so, and you mentioned you got the Cax in your bag.
Yes.
I think if I said to you, you got to take a disc out of your bag, your Cax is going to be one of the ones that you consider.
The Cax or the River? Because I feel
already.
So
we
I
don't like the River.
No, I feel really bad because it's like the FD that I got from you is a lower speed river.
Is it not speed 7? What's the river?
No, it's speed 7, but it's glide 5. And the river is a 7-7. And somehow I can throw... I don't know. I'll let you figure it out. Go on.
River's definitely 7-7.
I think the FD is a glide. It's a 7-6-0-1.
I think you might be right. I'll have a look. But, like, for me, I would either say it's one of those just because I don't know what it is. I feel
it's
like...
It's a 7-6-0-1.
So, for me... Right. Okay. I'm never going to doubt you ever again, Numbers God, Numbers Guru. But I feel like, for me, like... I think YouTube is the issue. And that's not me knocking it, because YouTube, you can get lost in the... This disc's incredible. This is great. This is whatever.
Oh, yeah, Kushka.
You can. But, like, I think the only thing that has not knocked me when I looked online, they were like, the river's a really good, like, you know, if you're going from mid-range and, like, if you're going up to the higher numbers, it's very good. Can't throw it. But yet, when I looked at the other mid-ranges and went Buzz, SS, and the Mako 3, I can throw them really well. I'm like, the internet's not lied about them. One and two. And I think that's it. But I feel like I'm throwing the FD more because I like how it feels. That's the other issue.
Yeah. So, in the future, if you were to go back, you know, we'd drive down there tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you just buy more discs, would you instantly go to the Discmania Discraft boxes?
Probably. I would probably go more Sea Line, because I know there's other discs in that Sea Line plastic. How I'm throwing, like me personally, where I'm at right now, how I'm throwing the Sea Line, especially after today, heck yeah. Like,
perhaps you should look at an MD, because that's like a Sea Line buzz, isn't it?
It is. But the problem is, I would not want to get that yet, because...
You've still got your buzz.
I threw the buzz really well today. And the buzz is, I'm still going to, like, even though I'm, like, Discmania for life, I think the buzz is the best mid-range, like... Dan and me will sing its praises. Yeah. Like, it's really good. Like, it's a good disc.
But you like the way that they feel. So would you say there's a
That's
benefit?
That's what I mean. Would it not be almost, if it's essentially a buzz, but you really like this specific plastic.
And because all the rims are very similar, aren't they?
They are.
See what I mean?
Like, yeah. If it's, to be honest, if I didn't throw Dan's buzz, I probably would pick one up. Yeah. But it's because I threw the buzz and I've had the buzz has been in my
with
what?
Because the buzz. How many more mid ranges do you really?
Exactly. Because then also I have what? I also have the Maestro in there as well.
Yeah, fair.
And I threw that for the first time today and it was quite nice to throw that again for a while. Like, it just.
But if you had unlimited money. Oh, well, I suppose the question would be, if you was going to be sponsored by somebody, you could only play with their discs.
Oh,
do
yeah.
you think there's a benefit to you only playing one disc?
I think if I was looking at it, I feel like if you were sponsored, first you got to be like, it's kind of like the hilariousness whenever I related to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. When you like when you were on like what was it Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Underground, you could pick whoever you wanted to be sponsored by.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be Toy Machine, just because that logo's sick, and also Toy Machine's history is, like, I've always liked their skaters, so I'll always do that. For me, when I got into disc golf, I got the Discmania starter because of the artwork, and then I was kind of like, cool, I want to branch out and do other discs. Like, Discmania's really nice. I can see it's. I feel like it's just down to your personal preference. At this moment in time, I'm 100% on Discmania, and I will float, you know, wave their flag. But also, I have to respect the other discs in my bag. Like, I love the Raptor. I don't know why it gets a lot of, like, pardon my French, on the internet for what it does. I really like it as a disc. Buzz is always going to be my favorite mid range. I think honestly, again, it comes down to
really simple answer is. But different companies make different discs.
Yeah.
And different companies, similar numbers of different discs are not the same.
No. We discussed that before. You know, they're just not the same.
You need a mix.
Yeah.
I'm probably recently leaning towards Innova.
Fair.
But that's, I think that's only because I'm trying to get more lightweight discs. They seem to be the ones with the most options available to me. So that's what I'm buying at the minute.
Yeah.
But before that, like I had a bit of a run on Discraft discs. Or
there's a time that you used Warblock Astroplast discs.
Yeah, they're good. They're all good for different things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Then this is what I was thinking. Like,
I couldn't just go right. I'm going to only buy Discraft discs.
Yeah, I can see that. I could say like, yes, but my issue is, it's then learning new discs, because we can all sit here because we all own a Berg. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever find, and that sounds really big headed, but I don't think we'll ever find a disc that feels quite like the Berg.
No, 100% not.
No. There might be stuff that's close.
Yeah.
But
if I was being sponsored by Latitude, let's say.
Yeah.
That's
no more Berg. Mm,
yeah. So it's like, what's like your approach game going
to? There's an Innova disc with similar numbers to a Berg. There's a couple with similar numbers to a Berg. But I guarantee it's not a Berg.
It's not a Berg, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets easy, because it's kind of like, yeah, sure, like, if you get sponsored and you can pick it, like, it's sure. Like, you could even design your own disc or whatever, which is fine. But also at the same time, it's like you will limit what you do.
Like the Maestro.
If you went back go on.
The Maestro is the disc is a Discmania mid range.
Yeah. Yes,
but it's not a Buzz.
It's not a Buzz.
And it will never be a
it
Buzz.
It will never be a Buzz. Yeah.
If you was bringing someone else into disc golf, and you say to them, right, only throw Discraft.
Right, I could see that, but my issue is, I would say
mixed bag.
I'll 100% mixed bag, but I'll also say, what do you like the feel of, and what do you like the look of? For me personally, I'm always, and it's always been with wargaming and with everything I've done, the rule of cool. If it looks sick, I'm in.
If you like it, you're in.
Yeah, and that's what drew me to Discraft to begin with,
but
was the artwork.
That is again why I'm a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more out there. Like, it's... Yeah. I can understand the benefits of sticking with one.
Discmania do some good, like, designs, though.
But then again, you can look at it and go, like, you are limiting yourself to one thing, and there's other discs out there. Like, we've not thrown MVP. We've not thrown, you know, Lone Star
What's
discs.
The
we've
the Fireball?
Not,
like, as I say, Discraft did a Zeus. That is their thin ranged driver. I don't like it. I think that Latitude and Innova make better thin discs to throw like that. But the Mystery and the Ape are both brilliant discs, both Innova.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'd swear by Discraft when it comes to mid range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's one thing we agree on. We do not agree on mid ranges because we're Buzz Bummers and I like the Archer.
Buzz Bummers, mate. Shocking.
But they're both made by Discraft.
Yeah.
And they're so.
And out of the Zombie and the Sting as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're not quite as much of a Buzz Bummer as Lee.
Oh, the Buzz is so good, bro.
But the Glory is going to start taking some of them spaces. I like the Glory.
But I think honestly, as well, you go. I think we've all had this as well in our short term of playing disc golf. Is we have always played with specific discs, and then we won't throw it for a while because we want to try other discs out, and then we go, oh, that disc is actually pretty solid compared to so-and-so, and then you re-throw that old disc and go like,
oh yeah,
well, yeah, I forgot this is pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to go back on myself as well. I've just realised the Onyx is Discraft, and I really like the
Onyx.
And
you like the Onyx. But then looking at it, it's like what? I would definitely say at the moment between us three, Dan and me definitely have the majority of our bag in one name.
And
we've
I really
got,
don't.
And you don't at the moment.
I don't know though, because
I've got a fair mixed bag. I think.
But how much Discraft do you own?
Five?
I think I would say it's a third of your bag.
Yeah. See, I've got.
It's a lot.
I don't really. I can't really remember. I think I'm still probably
not
quite,
compared to me though.
Quite strong disc mania. Even though I don't really use many of them discs anymore, I've still got quite a few.
Six of 20. So yeah,
I'm saying it's like definitely quarter. It's about a quarter.
I'm definitely my Innova numbers are definitely going up.
Yeah,
and Innova was the first disc I bought as well.
I honestly think it's down to your personal preference, because honestly, like,
I can say, like, coming from a golf background as well, I always stick with one brand of irons for ages, and then I made one change 1 year and immediately went, like, why the heck have I not been using this brand? This is, I'm hitting them way more cleaner and whatever. And you're going to always get that no matter what. But having a mixed bag, I think, at the beginning is great. But if you seem to like the feel or how it finds,
then you can lean into it.
Yeah, and it works. Yeah. And for me at the moment, it is Discraft, period. Or Discmania, even. So.
Well, a very particular disc got mentioned in that chat. One and only. So I think it's disc of the week time. And as I know what your disc is,
yeah,
why don't you tell us what the one and only Berg is all about?
The Berg. It's just a brick, isn't it?
It's so good.
It's just a flying brick. Like, and I've been a bit ropey last couple of weeks. And I was like, I'm just going to start throwing the Berg really hard. More and just getting the approaches right, and I was really getting like under the basket quite a lot, like right up there with a Berg, to the point where I'm pretty sure you thought I missed a putt,
yeah,
but actually that's just where the Berg had landed from far off. Just getting back into using the Berg to approach, and I just, it's just good, it's just good for what it does, isn't it?
Yeah,
and we've all been using it recently. Everybody can say the Berg is good for specific shots.
Well, you got one a fair few weeks back now, months maybe.
I was the first person in our group to get a Berg.
You had a Berg back when I had a Buzz, so you took him pre-Christmas.
No, the Berg was one of my first. I bought the Berg. All three Castoplasma discs that I've got were all bought in one go.
Yeah.
And they were what? What did I buy? I bought the Beast. Then I bought the starter set.
Yeah.
And then I bought my Castoplast discs.
Yeah. I mean, then Lee, you got one.
Yeah, I picked one up at the Gillies tournament because I know I wanted one.
You started throwing the Berg mine for a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I've wanted one since you've got one, since you had one, but I was content that the Buzz was doing the right job.
But you just never, you didn't, you took, there was a couple of weeks, months where you didn't actually have a go with mine, and then that sort of sealed the deal, didn't it?
And then I waited a little while because I was desperate to get a black one, but in the end, I ended up getting glow in the dark.
I feel like it is a very unique disc, and that's what makes it a selling point. And we always joke about it as well. It's like,
I need to get a Goldberg.
Yeah, you do.
God, that'd be sick. Cue music. No, I feel like it's one of those discs you either love it or hate it.
Come out with loads of fireworks.
There's people with sparklers just like,
just please do not punch car windows and mess up your hand, Ben. No, honestly, I feel like you either love or hate the Berg, but you shouldn't knock it until you've tried it. Like, let's be honest, like Rich, who started coming with us now, he owns Berg.
Yeah, you can say he bought one as well.
I'm definitely going to get a Goldberg. I might get some gold spray paint.
I like your idea earlier, I was writing Chris on it.
Yeah.
Chris de Berg.
Chris de Berg. Love it.
What's your disc of the week, Lee?
Mine's really simple because I'm, like I said, I'm currently throwing a lot of these currently, and I only bought it today, and I threw it for 18, and every time I threw it, I was like, this is a bitching. And also, I'm pretty positive you at one point, Dan, also said, is like, that's a far, like, what was it? A far layup disc. That's annoying. And it just parked every time, and that's the PD, the Power Driver by Discmania, C-Line Plastic, numbers 10403. It is one speed quicker than the Raptor. It is not as beefy as the Raptor. 10403.
Has had a nice ground glide on it. Like,
heck yeah.
Love the ground.
And it was solid. And literally everywhere I threw it, it went there without issues. Unlike the Raptor, where I know where I'm going to throw it and it will just go hard left, It finishes left, but it doesn't finish as hard as the Raptor does.
It's changed your game.
No, 100%. This is a game-changing disc.
It's added that whole, you're no longer in a situation where you're taking that of a... Because realistically, you're using it to recover. You've thrown a bad drive.
Yeah, you recover with this.
And that's the makeup.
And that's the makeup disc. But you're no longer throwing a makeup, get myself out of shit disc. You're throwing a layup.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you pinpoint.
It is very accurate if you know what you're throwing. And so far, I think it's just because I had the hilarious practice with the FD, which is the last episode's disc of the week for me. This is just a... Yeah. And it's also Jolly Rancher, like purple. It's awesome. I love it. It's great.
Do all of these? Like, you can get a double D.
Yeah, I got a DD3.
That was actually a joke.
That's the other one. I was originally going to have that because that was the driver I used for the 18, and that literally just... As soon as I threw the first one, I just went, oh, shit, this is it. But I feel like that was the one point we were going to get to anyway in our, like, ever-expanding careers of our amateur disc golf is at some point we're going to get to a point where, yeah, we can throw, like, 10, 11, 12 speeds now. This is great. And then our old stuff that used to be our drivers are now going to be either in the bag.
Like mids or something.
And now mids, yeah.
What about VD?
What, VD?
Yeah, can you catch VD?
I wouldn't put it past them. Like, for me, it's funny because it's like...
Disclaimer, do not try and catch a disc golf disc.
Do not. No, it doesn't work out.
Also, don't try and catch VD. Like, no idea what is going to work out good for you.
But it is quite funny to, like, look at it and going, when we first started this podcast, oh, yeah, I'm not comfortable throwing these discs, to now all of a sudden going, I'm quite happy with a big number.
I'm keeping it slow.
I know you are. You've already said that.
I don't throw over 10.
No.
And I can outdrive with a lightweight 7-speed, I can outdrive you with a 12-speed.
If I balls it.
Or I can match you. Yeah.
But it was bad. It was dangerous. You haven't even seen the DD3, mate. It is a... Yeah. Well, scary.
My disc of the week is a zombie, which is a 6-4 minus 1-1. I refer to this as... the Buzz Plus. I think I've said it before when we're talking on a different subject. If I want to throw something that little bit further than the Buzz, if I want to throw something a little bit further than the Buzz, then you know I'm throwing a zombie. It's doing the same job, but adding 10, 20 feet, and you know it's a good old disc. It's the reason I like, and we, you know, we spoke about this earlier today, the Discraft mid ranges, and the reason I like them is because the rim on them just feels, because you're kind of trying to get that tip of the whip, and that is my main tactic. I'm not swinging too far back, I'm not taking too much of a run up under the approaches, I'm just trying to get that fluid motion and tip of the whip.
Something about that lettering on the inside.
That you put your finger in.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you launch, you can just you know it's time because the disc has moved around and it's just something about it that makes it absolutely perfect for the tip of the whip shots. And the zombie very rarely lets me down when it comes to approaches. It very, very rarely lets me down.
You and me don't have similar discs. You two do, but we don't. But we agree on mid ranges as being Discraft because we still stand by that. They're just good.
I think that's their market, ain't it? If you think about it, what? We all own different Discraft discs. We have what? Zombie, Sting, Archer.
And Buzz.
Yeah. And Buzz.
But after throwing the Archer, I would not recommend the Zombie to Ben, and I would not buy an Archer. They are very, very similar.
They are massively different.
Yeah.
Even with our different styles, those discs are our discs for each other, if that makes sense. So you use the Zombie for what I'll use the Archer for, and you use the Buzz.
Yeah.
So they're all Discraft discs. They're all used in similar situations. It's just how they fit.
How they fit us with each person.
Yeah. Because you do throw the Buzz further than I throw it.
Yeah,
you
know, I do.
You put some effort into the Buzz. Well, I like that as a effortless approach.
It's literally a dart, the Buzz. If you get it, because it's kind of like, that's why I hilariously look at it and go like, I got the Mako 3 because it goes dead straight.
You don't really throw it, do you?
I don't throw it that much, and the buzz does exactly the same thing.
But if you next time Lee throws the buzz, actually watch him, because I think he pulls back further than any other disc. He does it a lot slower. There's not that much
I put more
rotation on it, and I don't do that with a buzz. I say I throw the buzz very casually.
Yeah.
The zombie, I throw like that. I'll put that effort. Yeah. I'll put that whip in. But yeah, very interesting discs.
Love it. It's very varied disc as well. Three different companies.
That's us all for this week. As I said, jam-packed episode.
I'm liking this two-week format. I'm liking this.
Yeah, definitely.
Working. It's working.
Join us in 2 weeks. Where the only thing I'm going to tell you we're going to discuss is our own personal techniques. Just some stuff that you won't learn on YouTube and stuff that we've picked up as a personal technique or a personal, habit
I'd say habit.
And that's benefiting our game and actually talking about, you know, finding your own habits, finding your own rhythm. But we'll discuss that in more detail in 2 weeks' time. But, you know, thank you for joining us. Another week in the bag.
Yeah, mate.
Bosh.
Bish, bosh, back of the net. Or should we say in the net? In the chains?
In the chains.
In the chains. In the chains.